Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we are your co-hosts. On behalf of us both, thank you so much for listening.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org to donate. We'd love for you to become a part of our family. We're on a mission to help strengthen your mental health and relationships with God and those you love the most. Help us as we work to strengthen, again, families and bring a message of help, hope, and encouragement to today's generations.
Your gift ensures this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's show, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's go ahead and get started.
Today, I'm joined by a very special friend, and I think you're going to find him very informative and inspirational. Why? Because he literally practices what he preaches. I'm joined in studio by the pro-life doc, Dr. William Lyle, a board-certified OBGYN physician who has become a powerful voice for the unborn. His brief bio is, in 1999, Bill took over the largest abortion practice in Pensacola, Florida. He immediately ended all abortion services. He now uses his medical experience and his bold faith to speak at churches, conferences, and pregnancy centers around the country, educating people about the miracle of all life. He's also managed to find time to serve as an instructor to the OBGYN residency programs at the University of Florida and Florida State Medical School. Today, he's here to talk with us about what's been happening in the fight for life since the landmark Dobbs decision came down, and how the church, by the way, can be mobilized to protect the unborn. Dr. Lyle, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, it's an honor to be on with you again, Tim.
Bill, your career has been amazing, outstanding, and what God's doing in and through you, it's just, it's so encouraging, especially as we stand boldly in the church for life. Bill, you've got some big news. You're making a little bit of a transition. Wanted you to share that news with our audience.
Well, sure. Well, I practice obstetrics and gynecology, board certified, licensed in multiple states, delivered 5,000 babies, and I've been doing that for 30 years. But we also really enjoy serving the kingdom and defending God's preborn. So we just made the transition from a position where we were in full-time medical practice and part-time ministry, and we're shifting now to full-time ministry to take the equipment, the knowledge, and the gifts and skills that we have developed over the years to use this to train the church and equip the church to defend the image of God in the womb. So as of now, we are full-time ministry.
Bill, up on the campus of Liberty University, there's a med school up there, and I see all the students coming in. There are quite a few of them, 4 years worth, going through the school at any given moment. The place is buzzing with activity, energy. Bill, somewhere along the way, something happened inside of you as you began your medical practice. God did something in your heart about life. And I want to go back to those moments and help people understand why you're so passionate, so committed to standing boldly for life.
Sure. Well, it was 1999, after being in school for 13 years, 4 years of undergrad, 4 years of medical school, a year of internship, and 4 years at the University of Florida in residency. It was time to get a job. And we looked at lots of opportunities. And there was one particular opportunity in Pensacola, Florida, that kept coming to our minds and was being led to us by God. And so we actually took over an abortion clinic, the largest abortion clinic on the Florida Gulf Coast. We took over the clinic from the physician that had been there for decades. And on day one, we stopped all the abortions. We had had the physician sign a restrictive covenant, a non-compete, where he couldn't practice any medicine in our tri-county area for 2 years. He moved out of state. And as of now, from the border with Alabama all the way to Tallahassee, Florida, there's still not one single abortion clinic. But that was the short-term goal. I had just spent 13 years in training, having healthy moms, healthy dads. And I'll never forget, it was a Sunday afternoon after church, and I finally had a key to my office. And I opened up the door and looked at the first floor, but I had never been upstairs, which is where the surgical suite was. And we were on the same road as Pensacola Christian College. I went up the stairs and I looked up there. I made the turn and there was the abortion machine. There was the table, all the instruments laid out for the next Monday's round of abortions. And I thought, We have Christian schools. We have Christian churches all around this area. Nobody's ever protesting. You never heard anything about it. And so we did a presentation at my church on what was going on here. And I just couldn't help but think of the thousands and thousands of moms who walked up that same set of stairs that I had with a baby on the inside. They spent 20, 30 minutes inside, and then they walked down that same set of stairs without that baby on the inside. So that was really our calling to the ministry, and just to educate people, to provide them tools. I just spent 13 years learning how we diagnose and treat and can even cure babies in the womb. And the technology has changed leaps and bounds. I mean, we're a high-risk obstetrical center in Pensacola, and we are doing blood transfusions to babies. And we've done that at our hospital as early as 18 weeks gestation. So all patients have rights. So we wanted to get that messaging out that, yes, all patients have rights, the moms, but we treat the babies in the womb as patients as well. And we have a duty to defend that image of God.
So when God does something in the heart of a physician, that's a special thing. Bill, in the midst of it, you are in a profession, and you were, over the last few years, kind of in a real mess because you had an administration that was basically forcing on doctors to go against what was in their heart, what they believed was their commitment, their calling to do anything to preserve life. And as you understood it, et cetera, it put you and others in, again, a quandary. Bill, where is things, especially since we've got a new president, new administration, President Trump and more, but what's happening inside the profession for people who feel caught, say, in hospital systems that are trying to force them to do or go against what they really believe?
Well, first, there's a lot of pressure from ACOG, which is American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, which is incredibly pro-abortion. In fact, the fastest growing fellowship in obstetrics is a fellowship called Complex Family Planning, where you spend two additional years after all of that training on how to kill a baby in the womb at up to the third trimester, up to term. But you also are taught how to perform what are called selective reductions, where say you have triplets or you have quadruplets, and I've delivered both triplets and quadruplets, and they've all done great. But in certain cases, they will teach you at the request of the mother on how to inject one or two of the baby's hearts with either potassium chloride or digoxin to kill those babies in the womb to kind of decrease the risk of preterm labor. And this is a fellowship, but there's a shining star, and that's called APLOG, the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. These are the board-certified OBGYNs who have been delivering babies and taking care of moms for decades, and they say, no, this is wrong. And there are 7,000 members of APLOG. I'm a life member of APLOG and support everything that they do. And that's over 10% of all the OBs aren't just pro-life, but they are dues-paying members of an organization that stands up for life. I mean, we spend all of these years training to have healthy moms and healthy babies. I just can't imagine guide somebody to want to spend all that training and skills to kill a baby in the womb. I mean, it doesn't make sense. And when things don't make sense, that's when you know it's a spiritual battle. So this is not just a choice. Well, I'm for this and I'm against that. This is truly a spiritual battle. It's an attack on the image of God. And now we actually have a pill that can be delivered mail order, the abortion pill, which annually worldwide is responsible for killing 40 million babies each year. And since its inception and its invention by a guy named Etienne Emile Belou, but along with him died 1 billion babies worldwide. There are only 8 billion people on the planet, and he is responsible for 1 billion deaths. But he learned something really important right after he died. There is a God, there is a heaven, there is a hell, and there is judgment. And I feel sorry, Etienne clung to that invention as one of his crowning achievements. And it's not. It's evil. It's an attack on the image of God. This is not a choice. This is not just about, well, this law says this and that law says that, because different states have different laws. But even pro-life states are battling the abortion pill. There are over 700,000 abortions with just the abortion pill in the United States each year. And that is more than 63% of all the abortions. But just last year, There were 26 studies worldwide which were used to show how the abortion pill could be used to kill a baby up to 28 weeks gestation. A baby born at 28 weeks in the United States has an 80 to 90% survival.
Some good news in that discussion, Bill, is the administration, the Trump administration, has agreed to go back and look at the harmful side effects of this and to reevaluate how we're thinking, what we're doing with the abortion pill. Bill, let me go back. The personhood debate. If you are going to talk about abortion in Christianity, people are going to go to Psalm 139. Before you were in the womb, I knew you. And they take that journey theologically. Bill, you present, you're a prolific speaker. By the way, if you've never heard Dr. Lyle speak, you need to get to one of his events. Bill, in it, you have teach so much about the personhood debate, and you actually show how research and science actually supports our understanding of life in the womb. I want you to take our listeners down that journey just for a moment so they get maybe a little snapshot of what you're showing people, especially when you speak to your audiences.
Well, sure. Well, we can start from the very beginning. That's a great place to start. And at that moment of conception, when you have one egg and one sperm come together, that one new cell is genetically unique from mom, genetically unique from dad, genetically unique from the other 8 billion people on the planet. And at that moment of conception, male or female is determined. But then we're not just one cell. That one cell divides into 2, and then 4, 8, 16, 32, 64. And at one point, they're all identical cells, but at a certain point, they all differentiate. And it's a miracle on how cells take on different roles. They all have the exact same complement of DNA. One cell, even though it's identical to its neighbor, will say, from now on, I'm only going to say read chapter 3 of the whole genetic code, and they'll start the whole cardiovascular system. And then another cell will say, okay, you do your thing. I'm going to start the entire neurologic system. And another one says, I'm going to start the entire skeletal system. I can tell you what happens on day 17. I can tell you what's going to happen on day 18. But how do these individual cells know what their job is and what they're going to become tomorrow? It's an amazing thing, and it can only be related to that there is an amazing designer, and that's Almighty God. But now we can actually do blood tests on mom, where we can find fragments of the baby's DNA in the mom's blood. And we can do this as early as 7 weeks after conception. And we can tell you with more than 99% accuracy on whether it is a boy or is a girl and look at other genetics. Well, the baby continues to grow. But the baby is my patient. The mom is my patient, but the baby is my patient as well. We are doing blood transfusions to babies to save their lives as early as 18 weeks gestation. The Cleveland Clinic recently did an open heart surgery for a baby at 27 weeks where they gave mom an epidural. She was comfortable. They made an incision in her belly, an incision in her uterus. They brought out both of the hands of the baby. A pediatric anesthesiologist started an IV in the baby's hand, and the baby was getting fentanyl so the baby didn't feel pain and getting a paralytic called Norcuron. Then the cardiothoracic team made an incision in the baby's chest, and they removed a tumor from the baby's heart. They then, when they finished, they closed the baby's chest. The heart was pumping normally. They removed the IV. They closed the uterus, closed the skin. They didn't deliver that baby for 10 weeks later at 37 weeks gestation. I have pictures of that baby right after delivery. I have annual pictures of that baby. The baby's now a little over 3 years old, but we're actually doing vascular brain surgery for babies in the womb for something called a Galen malformation. We're now in our third generation of spina bifida corrective surgery, where we are now using stem cells on babies in the womb that have a defect in their spine. And when babies have spina bifida, they are at super high risk for having problems walking, standing, controlling their bladders, controlling their bowels. The third generation trial is actually being held at UC Davis. They've received over $40 million in government grants on this trial, where they actually, it's called the CURE trial, C-U-R-E, where they're using stem cells harvested from placentas after a baby is delivered to actually grow new spinal cord tissue on these babies. if they think they have a cure for spina bifida in the womb, then there's no reason for people to aborting these babies. But we're doing laser surgery for twins that are sharing one placenta, teaching them how to share the nutrition. So there's something new every month. And there are centers all across the country which were not only diagnosing and treating, but they are curing the baby in the womb. In fact, at the Cleveland Clinic, the OR, where they take the mom and the baby, this is maternal fetal medicine. But above the door of this OR where they take the moms and the babies, the sign above the door says fetal OR. This is the primary emphasis. Mom is a patient, baby is a patient. There are rights in all 50 states, patients' rights. There are federal laws that protect the rights of all patients. Patients born in the United States have rights. Patients not born in the United States have rights if they go to the ER. Patients not born in the United States yet need to have those same rights, because a patient's a person, no matter how small. We're just trying to bring these tools and guidance to the population and say, this is not a glob of cells. This is a patient of mine that we treat as a patient, both medically and surgically, and all patients, including the preborn, have rights.
Bill, I've seen where a lot of pro-life organizations are going to imaging as a way of helping their cause. And they bring expectant mothers in and they show them pictures of the baby and more. And it's having a profound impact. I think it goes back to what you're saying here. If it's a patient, it's a person. And so when you get the personhood debate issue settled, Bill, that kind of turns this whole thing completely around. I think, Bill, that in turn sets up then this conversation about the abortion pill. People, they're kind of dissociating, if you will, away from that very conversation of personhood and saying, hey, it's my body. No, this is not your body. This is another patient. This is another person, Bill. And when you bring that together, I think that helps people understand. And by the way, think about, respond to, react differently.
Absolutely. Patients have rights. And this is a different person from the moment of conception genetically. We talked earlier about blood transfusions, how we will actually save the lives of babies by giving them a blood transfusion. If you went to One Blood or the Red Cross or your work and you donated a unit of your O negative blood, we can place that in a syringe, guide the needle through the skin of the mom with an ultrasound, go right up to the umbilical vein and give that baby a life-saving blood transfusion. Well, why would a baby need a blood transfusion? Because from that moment of conception, not only half the time is the baby a different gender and all of the nucleated cells in that baby's body are XY, but moms and babies can even have different blood types. And the reason the baby's blood count is low is because the mom can have antibodies which can cross the placenta and start to attack the baby's blood, because the baby is a different person, a different patient. Well, the baby in the womb is also our neighbor. So we can use our blood, transfuse it into the bloodstream of a baby and save its life. So the baby is our neighbor, and that is fulfilling the great commandment of love your Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. So we need to defend the lives of all of our neighbors.
Bill, you and I, we're fighting time here, but we've talked a few times about the abortion reversal pill strategy. Can you talk to us about that and what God's doing?
Sure. Well, the abortion pill has now been around for over 25 years. The abortion pill is available in all 50 states, regardless of your laws, and because it's coming mail order. If your daughter has a cell phone, she can get access to the abortion pill. But we also all make mistakes. And a lot of women realize they were panicked, they were scared, maybe they were forced to take the abortion pill, which will kill a baby up to 10 weeks gestation 98% of the time. Well, the abortion pill works by blocking a hormone called progesterone. And you look at the name progesterone, it's the progestational steroid hormone. It's what keeps a pregnancy going. So when moms realize they made a mistake, we're here to help. We actually have a hotline at abortionpillreversal.com. They can call the toll-free hotline, speak with a nurse, give them their information. They will connect them with a pro-life OB somewhere geographically close to them. So if the problem was they took the abortion pill and progesterone levels are going down, the physician just will give them progesterone, the exact same chemical that is used to support life, is being blocked by the abortion pill. We give them progesterone.
Bill, we were at the March for Life, and I am so encouraged by how today's generations are stepping up. They're calling themselves the pro-life generation. There's a lot of energy. You know, we also are here at the third anniversary of the Dobbs decision overturning, in essence, Roe v. Wade, that infamous decision way back in the 70s. But, Bill, and life is winning. We know that. Life is winning, but the battle rages on, and this has gone to the state level. We've got some states where abortion is outlawed, and we've got some states where they can have abortion all the way up to the birth of a child. It's horrific. But nevertheless, in the midst of it, I'm wondering, Bill, God's called you into full-time ministry. You and Leslie are out there. You're canvassing the country. What's in your heart? What's your prayer for the church? Where do you see this going, and what are you crusading about?
Well, there have been over 1 billion babies whose lives have been taken, and we serve a just and righteous God. There are so many people who have been involved with an abortion and are supporting abortion. They need the gospel. That is the real key. Yes, we use science. Yes, we use legislation, but the key is the gospel. It's the gospel that changes hearts. It's the gospel that changes minds. It's the gospel that changes behavior. Everybody has sins in their past, and they are hurting. When we are reminded of our sins, that's not God reminding us of our past. That is Satan trying to disrupt the relationship that we have with God now. Forget about what lies behind and press on towards what's ahead. Our primary duty is to share the gospel with our kids. Let them know the joy of loving Jesus and serving him. We were in Madison, Wisconsin last year, and we spoke with a medical student that was attending medical school up there in Madison, not a conservative hotbed. He said he walked in and abortion was a woman's right at any gestational age, but he also said that the reason he was in medical school because he was a huge advocate for patients' rights. After a 45-minute talk and after waiting in line for an hour to, you know, sit down with me, he said, "You know what? I think you believe in God. I could hear that in your voice." He goes, "I don't see the whole God thing." He says, "But regarding abortion," he says, "I had no idea. I can't be an advocate for patients' rights knowing now that we are doing all these amazing medical and surgical advances for the babies in the womb." He says, clearly they're patients. He says, "I still don't believe in God, but you're right on abortion. A patient is a person, and an abortion is wrong." I said, "Well, congratulations on that. You got the abortion debate down, but next we're going to let you know that there is a God. And the more you study in medicine, you will see the evidence of God, because everyone was created in the image of God, and you will see that truth."
Our special guest today has been the pro-life doc, Dr. Bill Lyle. He is a champion for life, canvassing the country with his wife, Leslie, now in full-time ministry. God has raised him up, I believe, for such a time as this. He's one of the most dynamic speakers out there on the circuit. Bill, if people want to learn more about you, how maybe they could host you, interview you, what have you, where can they go?
Easiest thing is to go to our website, which is prolifedoc.org. Send me an email through the website, and I'd love to talk to you.
Bill, as always, on behalf of my son, Zach, Dr. Zach Clinton, and our entire team here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, we salute you, appreciate what God's doing in and through you, and going to pray God's continued strength for the journey. Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you, and thank you for sharing your amazing platform to get this messaging out to the church and the world.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.